We'll get back to those calls here. 888-808-1019. Obviously, BT and Sal on this Monday, and it's getting real pretty soon. Obviously, the Yankees and the Mets, whatever push they can both muster up, we will find out, and we'll be here for every pitch and all the stuff. And then, obviously, the Jets and the Giants trying to at least get out to decent starts and give us something to latch on to. And, you know, if you listen to our show, you know that I've been fairly optimistic, without going nuts, but fairly optimistic that this football season for both teams is going to feel different, more exciting, more stable, more positive. And, you know, hopefully that comes to fruition first couple of weeks, so the tone is set. But we'll do a little football later. Nick Mangold is going to join me here. Sal is off, and we'll get back to these Yankee calls in a sec, as I said. So the Mets, right? So Sal was saying, I guess it was on Friday, and he's just confused. He was in one of those. I'm confused. You know, one of the Sal rants. The fluctuation in the voice, the high-pitched stuff, Sal was going, he was perplexed, and I don't blame him. And both of these teams have driven, I think, all of us to very dark places this year. And also, based on how they've kind of revived themselves at various points, we've been energized, depending upon, you know, what point of the season we're talking about. But specific to the Mets, right? Wasn't that long ago where they had lost seven straight games? So obviously, you can't forget about that. They lost two out of three at Citi against the Braves. They lost two out of three to the Nats. That was very alarming. That was like, wow, what are we doing here? And they were a step away from sweeping the Braves. And yesterday was a bad loss for a lot of reasons, some managerial, some based on performance, obviously. But, and I don't even really want to lump the Yanks into the Mets here, but I think that the Met fan right now should feel a little bit better than the Yankee fan does. I just do. Number one, McClain has given you now maybe he's their Schlittler, all right? But McClain, while Schlittler's been really good, and I think his ceiling is through the roof, I mean, McClain, two starts, he's the real deal. Now, you know, league's going to figure him out a little bit here, but when I look at a young pitcher, I look at the stuff, I look at the composure, I look at the, you know, Sal and I will say, we haven't said it in a while, the sackometer. I mean, McClain's got some sack. He is ready. So Friday night, you get McClain in your usual house of horror. Saturday, you get some length from Clay Holmes, which you never get. So that's good. But to me, I think the reason why the Met fan, I'll get to these first two games against the Phillies in a moment, but the reason why you have to be feeling good, or at least maybe not good, that's a little better about the Mets than you did a couple of weeks back, or even, you know, a week or so ago, is that the Anthos is now officially wide awake, and Brett Beatty is right behind him. So Vientos, last 30 days, not last 5 days, not last 10, last 30 days, 6 homers, 18 ribbies, 925 OPS, batting 300. That's 30 days, just about 300. I think it's 301. Beatty, last 50 at-bats. It's a decent little chunk, sitting 333 with an OPS over 1,000. And I think what you've seen from Beatty now, unlike Vientos at third base, Beatty has dispelled any notion whether or not he can handle leather over there. He can play third. He's an athlete. Likes to show off his arm. And he made a play over the weekend where he's basically in the visitor in the dugout. And he has shown some nice range and some nice defensive versatility. The game's slowing down for Brett Beatty, which is, I always thought he was going to be good. But, you know, you could say that, and then you get a chance and you don't see any production. You know, eventually, you got to kind of stop saying it. So I did. But this is what I thought Brett Beatty would be. I didn't know about the defense. I'm talking about from a hitting perspective, right? Because we knew the scout report. Can he really handle third? But he can. And he can also handle second. So between McClain, the back of the bullpen, obviously, I don't care what he's hitting with runners in scoring position so far this year. There's nobody on the planet that is going to convince me that Soto's not going to wake up. He just is. He is. And we've seen some signs, although Nimmo's injury is obviously not the best thing. We've seen some signs recently, small sample, that the Mets' big four, kind of, you know, minus Nimmo, they're, you know, they're showing signs of gelling simultaneously, at least in small spurts. And now with Sprout, I know it didn't go well from out of the pen, but you could tell another plan is in place. And the one thing that I didn't love, you know, Sal wanted to see one of these younger pitchers after McClain got the call. He wanted to see somebody else, and so did I. I'm just not a big believer in taking a young kid, thrusting him into a pennant race, and asking him to do a different job. You know, if you're going to call up a shortstop, have him play shortstop. Don't put him in left field. You know, if you're going to call up a starter, generally, I want to keep him as a starter, not transition him to relief. But the fact that the Mets did that already with Sproat tells me their plan's in the right spot, and he does have good stuff, and I do think he'll be able to contribute. But here we are. You know, we are at, well, I think the Met fan, even with yesterday, should feel pretty good. The next two games, now I'm not going to say the next two games are the season, but what you get from the next two guys in the next 2 days will very much determine the Mets season. Senga, step up. Manaea, step up. That's it. There's nothing else to debate. We could talk about Vientos and Beatty and McClain and Holmes and even Soto, but you know, Soto the pitcher before yesterday's been pretty good, and all the other things that we talk about on a daily basis with the Mets this season. If the top two guys, even though Peterson's really their best pitcher, but if the two guys, and has been this year, the two guys, if they can't do their job, well, then everything that I just said about Vientos and Beatty kind of doesn't matter. And even if you just, I'm going to meet you halfway. Even if you just get one of them to really stabilize their season, I think from my perspective, I think the Mets have a little more life than I thought they had, you know, going back to that 7-game losing streak, losing 2 or 3 to the Nats. But Senga or Manaea must wake up. All right, 1109, BT and Sound on the Fan, 888-808-1019. So there you go, Yanks and the Mets right now. Let's get back to you, Staten Island George on the Fan, BT and Sound. What's up, George?
Hey, good morning, BT. How you doing? Long-time listener to the show, first-time caller.
Nice.
I'm going back to what you said. So far, all the calls have been awesome. Going back to what you said in the beginning of the intro, like, I've been a Yankee fan my whole life, and even no matter how bad or how good the Yankees were, when they played the Red Sox, you know, there was that feeling of, like, we want to beat these guys, and we want to, like you said, we want to let them know we're there. We're going to be there for the 3-game series, the 4-game series, in your face, every pitch. And it's like, I'm watching the Red Sox. They're doing the simple things, putting the bat on a ball. Like, and like, there's no, like, Yankee pitchers. Bregman's getting up there in a lounge chair, sipping margaritas, knowing they're not going to, I'm not saying hit the guy. Brush the guy back. Let him know, hey, you're not going to lean over the plate and go to right field. There's none of that. I went to the game Thursday night, and it was just the same old script. Let's just wait for the big home run to happen, and it doesn't happen, and we lose, and Roman Anthony has to put one. I think that's still flying in orbit somewhere. It's just, It's ridiculous. It's like, how much more are we supposed to take as Yankee fans? Like, I hear you mispronouncing the Yankee players wrong before. It was actually funny because this is what they've done to us.
Drive me nuts,
this
George. Is what they've done to us. Yeah, my brain is mush watching these guys. It really is. I mean, what are we supposed to do? I mean, you've got to determine that for yourself. And good call. Love the passion. Yankee fans been on point. Yankee fans know the deal. There's no sugarcoat in this mess. This team is soft. All right. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch the remaining 32 games. I'm going to hope for the best, but I'm not going to expect it because the evidence has been overwhelming to the contrary. Not that you're not going to see a little flicker here. You're going to. You know, playing some bad teams coming up. We know about the back end with the Orioles and the White Sox, and now the White Sox here and the Nats now. It's going to be an easy week for the Yankees. We all know that. We're not dumb. We've seen this a million times. I think the only way you're dumb, in the baseball sense, of course, not completely taking a shot at your intelligence, but like in the baseball sense, the only way you'd be dumb is if you think that this is going to change. Like, I mean, really change. And get fooled by the allure of the home run against pitching staffs that are AAA or slightly below average major league, or in some cases, way below major league average. That's what's going to happen this week. Pad the old stats, bag a couple wins. It's going to mean nothing. It's really not. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal here on the Fan, brought to you by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. And listen, guys, this is not, you know, just back to the Yankee Red Sox, just focus on that dynamic for a moment. This is not, as even before I was really watching, like Fisk, Pinella, or Nettles and Lee, or much more recently, like Zimmer and, you know, Pedro, or Pedro and Kareem Garcia, or Pedro. I mean, Pedro's involved in all this. Pedro Posada. You know, this is not O'Neill throwing a bat and charging Seattle pitchers. And I'm not even, like, those days are over. Or, like, Strawberry and Tino, Armando Benitez. It's over. These guys aren't wired that way. They don't make them like that anymore. Because society doesn't let you back. You're not allowed to be that way anymore. People always wonder, like, man, why do these players not seem to care as much anymore? Because you as society basically don't let them. Now, I'm not pinning this on society for the Yankees' inability to run the bases or catch the baseball or, you know, do something with wrists. You know, no, I'm not saying that. But that's why I don't expect it, even though I said it in the open. Like, you know, where's the outward resistance? A hard slide at second. You can't really do it at the plate. You know, there's no contact at the plate. But a hard slide on the bases or a little chin music or just a little subtle messaging like, yo, you know, we're tired of you kicking our face in. Where is it? When you strip that away from society, football gets softer, everything gets softer. You expect 20-something-year-old athletes who are now of a certain societal norm, you expect them to just start acting like Daryl Strawberry? Or Graham Lloyd coming in from the dugout, from the bullpen? Again, they're not wired that way. And that's fine. So, like, you know, it's fun to say, oh, you know, I wish you would do this or remember when that happened. Yeah, great, fantastic. We all remember when it happened, but it's just, it's not reality to think that it's going to happen again. But even with the shift and even with the different mindset in young players, let me ask you a question. Don't the Red Sox look a little different than the Yankees? Just their grit? You know the answer, they do. Let me get John down in, where is that, Orlando on the Free Odyssey app. What's happening, John?
Hey, BT. Hey, before I get to my point, I actually just want to touch on what you just said. You know, I think also what you see is there's just such a fraternization of this league as, you know, the business and dynamics has changed. And that's just created, as you said, this soft environment where you don't have players who stand out and take accountability and light a fire under, you know, the team like you used to. Now, with that said, earlier you mentioned Judge about taking accountability here and, you know, coming down on him. The one thing that Judge lacks that Jeter had in the past and which made Jeter so effective is he had Posada to be that enforcer. You know, Posada would hold these players accountable. And that's why, you know, quite frankly, nothing's going to change here until Boone's out. And I'd love to see Georgie, you know, take the reins for this team. At least he's someone who has an idea of what Yankee baseball should be. He's going to hold the players accountable and bring some of that old school approach. Because you look around the league, there is no players who are like that anymore. But you know what? There's those good managers that make the difference.
Well, but John, here's the thing, John. If the Yankees, if their upper brass, the hierarchy, doesn't want that, then even if Jorge Posada came in kicking and screaming, I don't think the organization would really rubber stamp and have his back.
Well, you know what? That's
they don't
it,
want
because,
that.
You know, they don't, exactly. Because all they care about is if they turn a dollar right now. And as long as we keep going to the games, they keep making all this money, they're printing off money, what do they care if they win? When's the last time you saw Hal Steinbrenner sitting in a box? When's the last time you saw Randy Levine, you know, even show up?
Yeah.
Hal's too busy to come.
Yeah,
out.
Hal's never there.
He doesn't
well,
care.
He's never there. Yeah, but hold on. I'm not comfortable. Thanks for the call. Not because I'm afraid to say it. I think it's unfair, and I'm a little uncomfortable saying Hal doesn't care. I do believe he cares. I just wish he cared more. You know? I've said many times, of course the Yankees want to win. Yes, the Yankees want to win. And I'm not even talking about the players are booing. I'm talking about up above that right now. Yes, they want to win. Don't disrespect them by saying or implying they don't want to win, that it's just about the buck. I think that's patently offensive to them. And I've ripped them for years, all right? But I think that's taking it too far. What I will say is, you know, they're not motivated to win. They won't go to the lengths to win like they used to. Like, winning used to be oxygen. Without winning, they would die. Or they would do whatever it took to get that oxygen back. Talk about Judge and leadership. This was what I referenced earlier in the show. Go ahead, Dolph.
Definitely angry, especially against your rivals.
You know, stop for 1 second. We're going to play the thing. Stop. You don't sound angry, dude. Does he sound angry? Like, that's, if you told me that they won 7-2 against the Royals, like, yeah, that's kind of the way it sounds. Now, I also think that part of the greatness of Judge as a player is having the ability to process failure and success and understand, like, it's you know, you're not hitting 512. It's not high school, man. You know, it's just not. Gets harder and harder and harder and harder as you move up the ranks. So that, I think that that slower heartbeat and that perspective has enabled him to be great all time. But I want you to play it again from the beginning. 1 sec, Dolph. This is not what I want to hear from the Yankee captain after the Red Sox just embarrassed you again.
Definitely angry, especially against your rivals. You know, like, don't like the showing we've had here at home. So just got to step up. That's it. Got to step up. Everybody in this room's got to play a little bit better, pick it up a notch, and go out there and take care of business tomorrow. We can't, nothing we can do about the past 100 or something games we played. You know, we got to focus on what we can do now, and that's all you can do.
All right, you know, again, he's not an actor. He's not a professional speaker, public speaker. So I'm not going to sit here and judge, although I am to an extent, just for this point. You know, often, I don't like to do this, they're athletes. You know, they're not, they don't get paid to speak, they get paid to play. So his messaging maybe not matching the, like, the urgency that we all want. I'm going to try to keep a little perspective here. But what he said at the end, like, you know, what's in the past is in the past. Yeah, that's true. You can't change the past, right? You could address the past and make sure the future, or at least in the present, is a little bit different. Take those proper steps to change that in any aspect of life. But that's where I think, that's one of my biggest issues with the Yankees. I've heard that a lot. We can't change the past. Well, if you would have addressed it more effectively, you know, whenever, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, a month ago, well, then I don't think that Aaron Judge would have to say what he just said about we can't change the past. The reason you can't change the past is because you guys aren't doing a good enough job trying to change the past. Make sense? I think it does. I think it does. All right. Do I have a read here? So I do not believe that I do. No. We got Nick Mangold next hour. We've got your calls coming up. BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Threw the Mets stuff on there for you, obviously. There's a lot of Yankee rage. I get it. I feel it. Well, you know, like the Yankee rage, yes, it is applicable to this situation, but what's starting to creep in, and this to me is amazing, it's not apathy. And we're not there yet, but it's almost like an understanding on such a deep level that there's almost an acceptance that eventually could lead to apathy. And we're talking about the Yankees, and that is just, that's unacceptable. One thing I learned a long time ago, by the way, Hoff, is nobody cares about your fantasy team, my losing bet, your winning bet. Nobody cares. They care about their winning bets, their losing bets, and their winning and losing fantasy teams. But we had, it was on the calendar for a while. Both of these were. And we were at Sal's house over the weekend. Beautiful home, by the way. Awesome. We had a good time. And it's funny, the wives were sitting together for about an hour together, and we were all in the pool doing whatever. I had a couple surf slides. The kids were with us, and the wives were at the table. And I'm sitting there saying, God, I wonder what they're saying about us. And the one thing about the that day is that I really wanted to be able to draft my own fantasy football team. And I had a conflict of interest. So I told my buddy Pete, I said, dude, I can't make it. This has been on the calendar for a little bit. Like, Jan and Sal's wife put this together, and Nicole, housewife. So, and I'm not sitting at Sal's house with my laptop drafting. I'm not doing it. So I said, just draft me the best team. I don't want to do auto draft. Just have my back. And then I look at my team. And then, like, you get the auto draft report. It's like a D+. I'm like, come on. So that's probably another league I'll tap out 2 weeks in. I'll probably start 0-2. You know, I'll probably make like one token waiver wire move to try to try to stabilize things. That won't work out. I'll have one big injury. I'll be 0-3. I'll tap out. I won't adjust a lot the rest of the year. BT and Sal, 888-808-1019 is the number. 11:28 is the time. Let me get AJ in East Chester. What up, AJ?
What's up, BT? How you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing, dude?
Great. So, well, I could be better, right? As a Yankee fan. Look, there's two types of Yankee fans out there, right? There's the delusional ones, the 27 rings, you know, those guys. But then there's people like you said before. You can't pull the wool over our eyes. We see what we see. We know what we know. And right now, before you went out on the break, you said, you know, we know what they're going to do. You know they're going to win this game. They're going to lose these games. They're predictable right now. They're so predictable. And it's like I told Hoff, they're unwatchable. I knew what was going to happen. You knew they were going to lose 3 out of 4, maybe even get swept 4 games by this joke. I can't stand the Red Sox, I swear. But, like, Hoff could tell you, I've been one of the biggest Boone and Cashman apologists for a long time, up until about a month ago, where I just said, you know what, we need to blow a bomb, just throw a bomb in this, because, you know, based on this predictability and everything, it's like, it's getting so hard to watch. The other problem with this is, we keep going, and I'm a big traditionalist guy, but, like, we keep retreading Yankees here. I love Donnie Baseball. Donnie Baseball, one of my favorite players growing up, Ricky Henderson, Ken Griffey Jr., all these guys are, like, my favorite, like, players.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about the incestuous activity that the Yankees choose that just doesn't work anymore.
I wish there was some Yankee blood on the bench. There's not. So what's incestuous?
There's Boone is.
Well, no. I'm saying aside from Aaron, in terms of the staff. I mean, so where's the incestuous staff?
No, but all the talk is, oh, we got to get Jeter back. We got to get Posada. And granted, Posada might be a good move, but like, and even Boone, right? Boone tried. You see how many times Boone gets kicked out in a year. It's almost like he tries to inject some life into this team.
Yep.
And they just don't get it.
Yeah.
They don't see it. They don't feel it. There's no CC on the bench. There's no Gardner on the bench. There's nobody that gets it. Like when Jeter was the captain, he had CC to back him up, right? He was a silent guy. Jeter was kind of a silent guy, but CC was more that rah-rah in your face type guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gardner came along. And then, like, they're missing that in your face type guy.
Yeah.
And it's just missing the.
I mean, AJ, that's not the only issue. Thanks for the call. Like, and I know you're not saying this, but, you know, it's not like, oh, the Yankees are just missing a little leadership and they'll be fine. That's not even. I wish that was the case. Because then I'd say, all right, well, you know, so and so has potential to grow into a leadership role and all things should be fine. No, it's so much deeper than that. I mean, leadership is one aspect of the problems that the Yankees face. Not the only one. Let me get Pat.
They need to get rid of. That's what I'm waiting
for. All right, Pat. Patty.
Hey, how's it going, BT?
Good, Pat. No, you've been talking to somebody. I just had to make sure you were good to go. Pat's in Mastic. What's
up,
Pat?
Yep, I'm good to go. Thank you for having me.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just watching the culture of the Yankees, and it's walking out the door. We're starting to turn into the Jets now. It's turning into, like, no confidence, nothing going on, good. And I see, even from the coaching staff, I know that you've been very supportive of the coaching staff. I've been listening to you. I went to the game Friday. Seems like we're always putting people in situations, and then they're walking the first two batters, allowing the runners to move on the bases wherever they want. There's not just a baseball mentality. The culture is just disappearing. And, like, I understand the frustration with Judge, too, but at the same time, you got your Eli Manning. Certain players play certain roles. He leads by example, which hasn't been great, but in the playoffs, but it's just frustrating to sit and watch. I'm watching the most exciting part of the game I went to with my kids Friday, the squirrel on the mound. Like, what are we doing?
Sign him up. He's got some speed. He's got some instincts. That squirrel can move. Get him.
It's just crazy, though. Like, what are we doing? Yeah, we sit here and we watch. We don't, like Bregman, I watched him. Everybody's booing him. The guy's getting a fire from the fans booing him. They're not scared of Yankees fans anymore because nothing follows.
Yeah.
And then you watch them hit between first and second base. There's a huge gap. I'm sitting there with my wife and kids, and I'm like, the guy's going to poke another one through first and second. He's going to play baseball. We don't do that anymore.
No.
We don't do that.
That's a good point, man. You could see that coming a mile away, and he had a couple of balls hit to right field. Thanks for the call there, Pat. The one you're referencing was like a five hopper where you could just see what he was doing. I mean, he was going right field all the way, and it worked. He's a ball player. Whereas, yeah, I know, you know, and again, some of you will fall for this. I won't. And that's not to say that he you know, won't hit a big bomb in October that helps the Yankees beat the Guardians or maybe the Tigers or whatever. I'm talking about somebody like Jazz Chisholm. But when it's go time and when it's time to be locked in and have that real at bat, first and second, nobody out, tough lefty, what are you going to do? Are you going to swing like you're Reggie Jackson? Or are you going to, like you always do? Or are you going to dial it down, put the ball in play, and keep the train moving? I think I know what he's going to do. And what he's going to do is not going to be enough to help them to win. So they've just got, it is just a really, I just don't like the roster again. Now, I like it a little bit better than previous, you know, Yankee iterations, but that's not saying much. Ryan's in Stony Point. What's up, Ryan? How are you today?
It's going, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's cooking, dude? Let's go. You got it. Fire away, Ryan.
So I feel like the Yankees at this point, they're almost in like an autopilot mode. It's like, another game. We lost. Who cares? You know, let's just sweep it under the rug. They're almost accepting defeat. Like, I'm 22 years old. I didn't see, like, the 90s Yankees, but that's what I want to see. Like, they come in, or you come into the Bronx, like, they're going to kick our teeth in. Like, they're just not like that anymore. Like you were saying earlier, they don't have a guy who's just like, you're almost, like, scared of this roster. It's like, I like Jazz, but it's like he comes into a game, and it's like he doesn't care. They lose, big whoop, whatever, we'll get him next time. We've been saying that the last time they were in Boston, we'll get him next time. Here they came. They came into the Bronx and they killed us. Like, where's that intensity? That's the New York Yankees. I feel like they don't have that intensity anymore.
They don't have any. You know, part of the problem too. Thanks for the call there, Ryan. And yeah, I don't know this to be true, but it's almost like they're so aware of how we're going to react. Whether it's on, I'm not saying they base their decisions on WFAN. I don't mean that. I mean big picture. The social media kickback and the reaction in the stands, like. I almost feel like they're too aware of what the public or how the public's going to react to something that goes against their very vanilla public presentation. I believe there's some ass kicking behind closed doors. Ain't working. You know, I believe there's accountability behind closed doors. Not doing much. I believe voices are raised behind closed doors. Means very little. Let me get Richard in Melbourne, Florida. What's up, Rich?
What's up, BT?
Hey, Rich.
I've never seen a team so soft.
Well, you have. No, Rich, hold on. Rich, hold on. I'm going to let you go. I don't mean to jump on here. You have. It's just we're not used to it being the New York Yankees.
You know, I've seen teams. I'll go back to the 80s, and you know how bad those teams were back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And they have fight. They fought to the last teeth. You know what I'm saying? These Yankees, they live in life so in denial, you know, they'd be happy just. What happened from going, winning championship to winning the division? Now they're just going to be happy to make a playoff spot. You know, if you look at it, Toronto, Boston, man for man, the Yankees are a better team. We go man for man. You understand what I'm saying? For the Yankees to be this bad against those division rivals. You know, it just the manager, he gets me so sick. He's
so I don't know if I agree. I mean, I don't want to go back to my position, but I mean, Trevor Story's better than Volpe. Bregman's better than McMahon. I mean, that's two for two Boston. I mean, Grosjean's been better than Fried. Ace better than theirs.
Yes, now. Because the way the Yankees are playing. But the Yankees should be much better than Boston.
Why?
Much better than. But they got a better team.
Says who?
Honestly, they got a better team.
Oh, so you feel that. I respect
I'm
that.
I feel.
Gotcha.
I'm just a mean.
Yeah, I
feel they got a better team.
Fair enough. You know, I got you.
They got a better. They got the reigning MVP. Okay. You know, we understand he's hurt and he's not an outspoken guy. That's what he is. He's not like outspoken, but this team needs to step up the game, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you said, they're going to go on the run. Let's see when they play Toronto now. You know, Boston were laughing at them, man. How could that happen? Laughing at them.
It's a walk in the park, man. Rich, it's a walk in the park, buddy. It's a walk in the park. It's a walk in the park. Back then, you know, whether it was Trot Nixon or whomever, was in the old stadium in right field with the overhang, and it was like a death pit. That's what it was. It was like a UFC steel cage match. You couldn't hide. And, you know, to give it up to those Red Sox, they didn't really want to hide. Now, the Yankees were better most years until they weren't, the collapses we know. But I don't think the Boston Red Sox back in the day lost because they were soft. They just think the Yankees were one of those all-time amazing units with great chemistry, great depth, and everything worked. You tell me that Big Poppy wasn't a dog, and Manny wasn't a dog, and Nomar before he wasn't a dog, and Trot Nixon wasn't a dog, and Damon wasn't a dog. They were all, and Varitek wasn't a dog. They were dogs. Yanks have more. Yanks have dogs now. Poodles. So they got a couple of pretty, you know, primped up, whatever, you know, take them to the, you know, for an hour or two at the dog salon. They look good. Give me the spike collar. Give me the growl. Give me the saliva hanging from the fangs. Give me a pit bull. Give me a Rottweiler. Give me a mixed breed, something like that. I'll take that. No. It's poodles. Win, lose, eh. Doesn't really matter much. And I know that this isn't the case. I got to get a break here. But I think what really bothers me, and I very rarely speak for anybody but myself. I've learned my lesson. That's probably not the smartest thing to do. But I feel pretty good saying this. So I know what you're thinking, because we're thinking the same thing. I think that you feel like it bothers us more than it bothers them. And when we feel that, that's when it's like, now it's a different range of emotions, and now there's a little disconnect, and now you're starting to go, not yet, because they'll get a couple of wins this week, it'll suck a few of you in back. You're starting to move towards the apathy. I'm telling you, I've never quite seen it like this. But it's easy to read. The disconnect is happening. Yankee fans have disconnected, most of you, from this team. Really from this franchise, not just the roster. And by the way, I'm at my wit's end with this fly that's been... It's almost like the fly was put in this studio to aggravate me even more, knowing how I was coming in with the Yankees. I don't know how it's on the 11th floor. I don't know how... There's no windows in here. So I don't really know how the fly got in here. But this fly dove is... It's at my wit's end.
Maybe it can go 10 floors, not 11.
Yeah, but I don't really care where it goes. Just go to 12, go to 10, just get off 11. Because it's just what I think it's like. All right, he's good. He's not going to keep going. He becomes very active again. And he's just, you know, I'll tell you, the fly swatter's coming out soon, Huff.
There's been a moth in this control room for about 3 months.
Don't talk that way about Dove. That's not nice.
It's not the same moth.
There's a family of moths in this control room, and there seriously though is a moth here every day that me and Dove swat.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Do you know what happens? So I got something on the NFL. I want to give that in a minute. We'll get back to the calls as well. So I'm coming out of my basement. Guess about a week or so ago, just to water the arborvitaes, make sure she's doing well. You know, I want to make sure they're growing nice.
How's she looking?
Nice and plump.
Good. Good.
Yeah, very like good. It. Yeah, very round, very very healthy, shall we say. And when I come out, like, this is the basement door, which obviously is now under, if you can envision, underneath my deck before you get out to the grass, whatever, little basketball court. And there's a light that's to the immediate left of the door so that when you come out at night, you kind of see where you're going a little bit here. Evidently, I don't know if the birds came and, like, unscrewed the top of the light or if it was just loose and it maybe just fell off. I'm kind of guessing that that was it. These birds made this incredible nest. And, I mean, it scared the hell out of me because when I walked out to water, like, three birds, two baby birds and I guess the mom, flew out of this light fixture, which was about... I don't know, a half a foot from my head. Dude, I didn't know what the hell happened. So now I'm in a rough spot here because I don't want to ruin their home, but I also don't want their home to be at my home. And I'm like, that's it. I got to take matters into my own hand. And I started to, like, detach, unscrew the light fixture. But then I got to the part where there's the wires. Now I sound like Sal with the things he can't do at his house. I'm actually usually pretty handy. But once you get into the electrical stuff, and this is obvious, there was all these wires. I'm like, I'm either going to get electrocuted or I'm going to electrocute the birds. Let me just lay out and let me just have the electrician come out because they got to fix the fan as well. But those birds are on their last, they're closing up shop. That's it. I'm going to kick them out soon. But it is a beautiful nest. And the way birds actually make nests is really a thing of beauty. How hard they, so that's why I can't just destroy their home. Part of me wants to just flood it out. Flood it out because it's so hard now. It's like the mud, and it makes it very hard, obviously, to protect them from the elements, the eggs and the food, et cetera, for the babies. So there, but I'm like, I can't do that. I don't know if anything's in there, eggs. I'm not just going to flood it out. I'm not that guy. But I also don't want all the dumpings around on the tiles. Anyway, it's been a massive production, so I'm going to have to solve that. All right, did you guys see what happened with Sanders over the weekend? I'll tell you, the Browns, much as we talk about like the Jets and what they've done and a few other franchises, like the Browns really might be the worst, most maddening franchise in all the sports. So they draft Shedeur Sanders, as you know. They take him late, fifth round. They've got 9 gazillion quarterbacks on the depth chart. They have a chance, and he came out and he played pretty well the first preseason game, if you remember that. Threw a couple of touchdowns, looked well. Obviously not very high on the depth chart, and nor should he be, I don't think, yet. But then he's got a chance to play and run a 2-minute drive the other night, and he thinks he's still in the game. There's miscommunication. They don't let him know what the hell's going on. He's getting ready to go back in the game. He's thinking, okay, here's my chance. Let me lead him down the field. Let me lead us down the field, score a touchdown, and let me show to them that I got the chops to, you know, move up a spot and maybe eventually play for the Cleveland Browns. Instead, they didn't. They pulled him, and Tyler Huntley was out there, and then they cut basically Tyler Huntley the next day. Like, what are you doing? Like, that's a team. We think we have it rough with the Yankees now. We do. But I don't really think that the Yankees necessarily make decisions based on fully on public sentiment. I think the Browns do. I think the Browns are calculating in real time. Ah, man, you got a bunch of twos and threes out there that, you know, there's a good chance Sanders might get us in the end zone. If he does, you know the noise is going to be loud. What do we do? How do we handle this? So instead, they do what the Browns do. They make a complete mockery of it. They give it the football to a kid who they know is not going to even make the team. And then they cut him, and they don't give Sanders a chance to shine. Because I believe they don't want to hear people calling up radio and yelling all week, Sanders should be the starter, Sanders should be the backup. And I don't think that he should. But the fact that they didn't give him a chance just tells you that team is doomed. All right. NFL Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Let me get Eddie on Long Island, BT and Sal on the Fan. What's happening, Eddie?
Yeah, how you doing? I know you're beating it to death, but you are spot on, 100% right, where they do the same old things and it makes you crazy. And I believe the fans are way more passionate than the players because, let's face it, once again, they scored no runs Friday. They scored one run on Saturday. They got first and second last night with nobody out. Why don't they bunt? Rice was up. He don't bunt. He hits into a double play. You shake your head and you're like, what is going on around here? They drive you crazy.
Yep.
I like the way Volpe got yanked. That guy, he makes things happen. He sacked
Caballero. Love him. Love him. Volpe should be plays. Sitting. Yeah, Volpe's guy should be. It's about time.
You know, makes a good throw to first base. Yep. You don't have to worry about if it's going to be in the dirt. And he, you know, I thought that guy was a great pickup. But things drive you, look, the same things over and over and over again. It drives me crazy. You know,
Eddie, you're right, dude. You're 100% right. You nailed it. I mean, listen, you go back to, you could cherry pick a million things over the weekend, right? Or really all year. But, you know, a lot of you focused on the Ryan McMahon at bat from a couple of days ago. And he was up 3-0, bases loaded. I think it was a 3-2 game, I think that was at that point. 3-2 Yanks. Yanks have a chance to tack on. And, you know, Ryan McMahon obviously goes from a 3-0 count to striking out, which is just unacceptable. But to me, it was the at-bat before that. We got Jazz swinging like he's Reggie. Jazz choked. I don't think you have to choke up like Roy White or Mickey Rivers. But, I mean, just put the bat on the ball. And that's where either the showmanship or the inability to understand the moment and adapt, it just really does drive you nuts.